rest of the story. Little Henry was his mother's favorite. Quite a distinction, considering she had 11 children of her own, all of whom she loved very much. But then Henry got sick. The croup, they thought. Papa brewed a home remedy. It did no good. The child's condition grew worse, and then he died, and he was only 4. So poor were the Higginses that family photographs were an unattainable luxury. Therefore, no picture of little Henry was left behind to console his grieving mother. And that's why the boy's father, Michael Hennessy Higgins, a sculptor of tombstone angels by trade, grew determined to provide his wife with a keepsake that no one from the wrong side of the tracks in Corning, New York, would ever forget. It was daughter Maggie, then 10, whom Papa enlisted as his accomplice. She was not sure what her father had in mind, but she trusted him, and so she patiently watched. As approaching midnight, he loaded a bag of plaster powder and some tools in a wheelbarrow. She dutifully followed him in the freezing darkness to the graveyard wherein little Henry had been laid to rest only hours before. At the edge of the cemetery, Papa set the wheelbarrow on its braces and looked down at Maggie. She was to stay here, he said, with the lantern, and if she saw anybody approaching, she must swing the lantern as a signal. Maggie nodded, and Papa walked off through the rows of marble monuments. For long minutes, the child hugged herself, defying the cold, gazing into the gloomy night for some sign of an intruder. At one point, she was startled by a white figure standing amid the tombstones, but stifling a scream, she realized it was only one of her father's angel statues. In the not-too-distance, she could hear the sound of a shovel parting the earth, and after what seemed a very long while, the thud of the shovel blade as it struck the lid of a tiny coffin. Whatever Papa was doing, it took an hour or more, the longest hour little Maggie had ever spent or would ever spend. For 2 evenings thereafter, the girl helped Papa in his workshop as he continued in secret with his grim project. Finally, the gift was finished and ready to be presented to Maggie's mother, a handsome plaster bust of her departed son Henry, a likeness through which the little boy's memory would forever be preserved. A much-appreciated tribute, lovingly, carefully created from the death mask his father had made one cold and lonely night. Well, the effect of this gesture was profound, everlasting for Maggie as well, less for its relevance to an episode of grief and healing, more for its reflection on a greater family condition, too many children, too few resources through which to care for them. A smaller family would have meant more money for food and clothing and for a doctor, and maybe they might even have been able to afford a photograph. Maybe the money might have saved her little brother. But with 11 children, this was an observation that would haunt Maggie Higgins through the rest of her childhood and far into adulthood until the end of her life. The history of social change records the phenomenal and far-reaching accomplishments of a woman named Maggie, who took her husband's name to be known then and thenceforth as Margaret Sanger, and who is revered as the individual who launched the family planning movement in the United States, virtually single-handedly when the century was young. But now, whenever you think of the determined activist once indicted for distributing birth control information through the mail, you'll be able to put her mission in the context of a family that was too poor even to afford a photograph, and a small girl with a lantern standing vigil in a graveyard. Now that you know the rest of the story.